Do-do-do-do-do.
Loggeria.
Welcome to Loggeria, the arts and entertainment podcast where we word vomit about whatever we want. My name's Clark Hubbard.
I'm Corey Adams.
My name is Katie Chapel.
And today we're joined by a special guest star, Madeline Fleming, who will be typing and studying for a Spanish test. Is that right? All right. Well, if you hear typing in the background, pages turning, faint whispers of Spanish, that's what's going on, because she was nice enough to give us her room in the library, so you might actually be featured in this episode of Loggeria. So listen for your own voice if you were in the library at some time this week. Corey, you have anything to say? You look like you have something to say.
Sort of salty. Whoever is actually using the real recording studio tonight, I hope your podcast is going really well.
I hope it's going poorly, because you're not even there right now, but you're still taking up the space.
But we love
you. I think maybe we should have just reserved the room in advance, but who am I to say?
I tried to, Katie. You could have done it as well. I don't think this falls on me. With that, let's get into our first segment today. We're going to be talking about movies. Now, Katie and Corey want to talk about the same movie. I'll put in my own information about it, but you guys go for it.
All right, so if you've been alive in this year, you probably know what movie we're going to talk about. And it is Marvel's Infinity War.
I thought it was The Bourne Identity.
Bourne Identity. It was a close second.
Close second.
They're so similar.
In that I've seen one and not seen an entrepreneur. I've seen The Bourne Identity. Anyway, so we're going to talk about The Infinity War. This movie.
The Infinity War.
Yes, the, okay. Yes, the All Infinity right. War.
You say The Civil War. Yeah.
There's not multiple Infinity Wars. There's not a part two or anything like that.
Not yet.
There's not going to be.
Yeah, there is.
If there is, they would name it part one, just like Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows, Hallows part one.
That's really faulty logic, but talk about the movie.
Breaking Dawn, part one.
Okay. Well, anyway. So, Infinity War was one of the most anticipated Marvel movies, I think, to date. Mainly because it just features so many people. Black Panther came out earlier this year and was a huge success. I was reading a lot of different articles, and it said that because Black Panther was sort of, you know, it's still in theaters, and when Infinity War came out, so a lot of people sort of created their own double feature and watched Black Panther and then went right after to see Infinity War, like in the same day or like earlier in the week than later in the week. But Infinity War, I think, definitely met a lot of people's expectations. Some people were disappointed, but it's been my experience that the people who were disappointed in Infinity War were people who maybe had not seen all the movies, who were maybe not as big of Marvel fans in the first place. So looking at it as a standalone movie, there are a couple of different critiques. These critiques go away if you look at it as a part of a whole, but looking at it as its own standalone. One of those things being character development. So this isn't really a spoiler, but if you know anything about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know that people like Iron Man had three whole movies before they appeared in this movie. Same thing for Captain America, same thing for Thor. So that was one of, you know, sort of the critiques. There's not a lot of character development. All the characters are sort of just there.
We take a break in this Corey podcast to bring you another person.
I think it's really interesting that that people have the critiques that I've heard I've thought were interesting. I didn't agree with them though. I think that it was very similar to an actual comic book, which is something that I really liked about it. I'm a big fan of Marvel comics. I read them when I was little. And the way that all of the different characters interact with each other, and there are multiple different things happening throughout the movie, and you go to all these different places around it. It's very comic book-esque.
Yeah, and it's casual. It's like you go to this place, you're on this character's domain, mm-hmm. you run into that character. It's not like this is a special feature with these two characters
right,
or something like that.
And you use humor in some different scenes, like some of the characters, like the Rocket and Groot go off with some of the other Avengers, and they do their own thing, and they have sort of a funnier little story, and they have a lot of more humor, more like...
Yeah, some of it's sort of just a thing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe for certain characters mm-hmm. to be more prone to humor.
Right.
Sort of like...
And it breaks up a lot of the seriousness that's happening with other characters.
For sure.
But most importantly, we need to talk about whether or not this movie is making money, which is the sole purpose of every movie in the Marvel series, just to bring in lots of money to Hollywood executives and billionaires who already have more money than they know what to spend. So ultimately, we're looking at a huge cash cow here. So I think it's done a really great job in that regard.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's broke. Is it the number one?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. It's broken some records.
For sure. I know, like, Black Panther, I think, broke some records, and then Infinity War came right back around to break those records.
Thank God for capitalism. It's such a good thing.
All right, Clark, with your Marxist critique, just let me enjoy my movie, okay?
Okay, fine. Enjoy it while it lasts.
The thing that brings me and my father together, really? You're going to ruin that?
That's it.
So, sort of just speaking in generally, making sure we're not going to do any spoilers, if you're wondering, should I see Infinity War? Is it just overhyped? Is it...
The answer is yes, it's overhyped.
Okay. I think Infinity War is very hyped, but it is...
Rightfully so.
One of those movies that is rightfully hyped. I think that it is very entertaining. There is comedy. There is some intense things. Marvel has made some... bold moves, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of political discussion, even though they never bring up those issues. It talks a lot about overpopulation, actually, which is very fascinating to me, and they don't ever, like, apply it, like, oh, you should think about how you are contributing to overpopulation. It's not about that, but they are discussing the issue of overpopulation and the idea of, like, trading lives for lives. That's, like, a big theme.
Yeah, there's a lot of moral implications. Dilemmas. Yeah, just like the what is it, the trolley?
Yeah, the trolley conundrum.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, wow. There's people not feeling well. There are triangles. This is Braxton Hobbs, who you just heard enter the room. So if you hear any... No, Braxton, you can stay. We're just recording a podcast, so just
very casual.
If you want
to
say
everyone
anything,
say hi to Braxton.
Hi, Braxton.
Hi, Braxton.
If you've got anything to say to Braxton over the podcast, just shout it out. Text
Tweet
it to
us.
Him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So
Madeline's upset because she didn't say anything earlier, but I mean, we totally addressed her and she just didn't talk.
You
so.
Can have one sentence. Ready? Go.
Hello, Infinity War is awesome.
There
that's
we go.
A good
hey,
sentence.
Wow. She's been sitting on that one this whole time.
She has been.
But
so,
like we said, if you are thinking about seeing Infinity War, you should go see it. With that, we're gonna move on.
We are gonna move on. Next segment today that I want to talk about is television shows. What have we been into recently? Corey, you said you continued to watch something that you stopped watching earlier.
So a couple of episodes ago, I mentioned that I was gonna start Altered Carbon. I had seen it on Netflix. It was recommended. I watched the first episode and I was not extremely impressed, but I decided over the last week or two to go back, give it a second chance, and it's definitely one of those shows that it just takes a minute for you to get into, right? So just speaking generally about the show, there's a lot of vice in the show, but there's like a bunch of like sex and nudity, drugs, all this sort of stuff. But it's because of the nature of the show. So the basic premise is that...
Is it about Woodstock?
No, it's not about Woodstock, surprisingly.
Is it about carbon, but like different carbon?
Actually, steel. It's an alloy. No, no. So the basic premise is that technology is invented that you can upload the human consciousness to sort of like a chip. And sort of
like
basically...
what flavor? Are we talking potato?
Cool Ranch.
Tortilla?
Cool Ranch. Cool Ranch flavored chip.
You can upload your consciousness to
into
a
Cool Ranch
flavored
chip. So is this like, is this chip nudity? Is that what we're talking about?
Can we see naked tortilla chips on
the reason why
show?
There's such nudity and things like that is because it basically eliminates the importance of a body, right? Because your life, nothing matters about what happens to your body because your chip will just be placed into another body.
So it's like reverse Gnosticism.
I get sort of like that. Yeah, the body doesn't matter. So
I apologize for Clark. I don't know what to do with him.
Essentially, the bodies are just called sleeves. And rich people, for example, if they don't like their body, they can just go buy a new quote-unquote sleeve. And like, there's like this big religious thing about like, because people can sort of live forever. You just, you know, keep getting a new sleeve as you get older, as you would die. And it becomes like a religious thing. And so there's just a lot into it. It's very deep as a show. If you have time to watch it, I would definitely give it a watch.
And that's on Netflix, right?
On Netflix.
Awesome.
Yeah, what I'm going to talk about is also on Netflix. It just came out with the second season. I'm talking about Dear White People, which, interestingly enough, is also about a podcast, but a very different type of podcast.
Very different.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I had seen the first episode, and I don't remember why I didn't keep watching it, but then somebody was like, oh, the second season is out. Do you want to go watch an episode with me? And I was like, sure. And I was very intrigued, and I just sort of binge-watched it in over the course of a week. And finished the second season. It's very interesting. It's about an Ivy League school. And the main character, her name is Sam. She is white and black. Her father was white. Her mother was black. But she becomes sort of a voice of the like black community on her campus through this podcast that she uses along with a lot of her friends. And it really, something I really like about it is it's not addressing who is right and who is wrong in these like situations that all happen on campus, on this campus. It's more of like, there are definitely times where they pass judgment, but a lot of the times they have sort of this moral query of, is this the right thing to do? Is this the wrong thing to do? Is there a right opinion to have? Is there a wrong opinion to have?
But I mean, is it one of those shows or one of those conversations where it's just like really attacking white people? Because I know a lot of people have criticize the name Dear White People because it seems like it's instantly just calling you out.
Right, and I think that part of the idea is there is a sort of calling out, but it's more of a calling out of systemic racism and subconscious racism that develops on this campus, and it's something that they deal a lot with in the second season, that an alt-right group comes out and they are attacking the Dear White People, and they create their own other podcast called Dear Right People. And so one of the questions that the main character starts asking herself is my podcast helping or is it making things worse?
Yeah.
And so,
which is sort of always the question you have to ask when you delve into such issues.
Yeah, and I think that part of what makes the show great is that the main character is not always right. And there are times where you as the audience can see that, and then other people call it out for them as well. This isn't a secret. This happens in the first episode of the first season. She starts dating a white male, and it becomes a big tension with her and her friends, and it becomes a tension with herself too. Like, is she doing something wrong? Is this okay? Should she be supporting black masculinity? Because that is something that is an oppressed group, and it's also like a group that sometimes people sort of belittle as less worthy to be like a boyfriend or a husband, and they sort of talk about like whether or not that was the right choice for her.
I watched the first season, so the second season does continue to have some of these really potent and controversial conversations at the forefront of
right,
the narrative.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, and it also talks about sexual identity. There's a lot of different conversations happening all within it, and I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my TV show is probably, I don't know, it's The Pacific. I haven't watched it before. I've watched Band of Brothers, but The Pacific is the sequel series. It's a miniseries by Spielberg. Tom Hanks is in there as well. Just a really interesting thing because World War II is so fascinating to me. And it follows the lives of three different members of a World War II fighting group in the Pacific Islands during that campaign. It's a really interesting show because, especially since it's on HBO, they're able to show like the reality of war, and not just war, but like the lives of these men and how much these men's lives have changed because of war. And I was watching it, and then I had like a sort of existential crisis where I was like, what if there's a draft because I don't think I can do this? But it makes you ask a lot of questions about politics, about war, and just about the morality of all of it. Because you can actually, it's not just this idea of war is hell, which is so many movies. So many movies are just war is hell, and like, we get it. Like, everybody said that.
Okay.
But this is
so
also
that's,
like,
that's what I was sort of thinking when you started talking about it. So how is it different from the war is hell trope?
So we've got that aspect for sure. But they do it very well, and there's also a mixture of like personal lives, whether that's shown in like these small moments where somebody's like looking at a photograph of somebody that they miss back home or something like that. We're really dealing with the humanity of the soldiers in the war. Mm-hmm. So it's about them and it's less about the conflict. The conflict is sort of a catalyst, but it's a really well done show and it's so emotional. The first Band of Brothers is as well. I'm only two episodes into the Pacific, but it's just really well done. I really appreciate it.
So if I wanted to watch the whole thing, you said it's a mini series. Does that mean I can binge it?
You can. It's 10 episodes. Each one's 50 minutes to an hour. It's, okay. I mean, that's like 4 days in college time.
What is it? So is it supposed to be sort of realistic fiction or is it more like a based off of true story type?
It's based off of it's actually based off of three biographies, I think, which is the same thing as the first one, but it is fictional. So they take these episodes and these events in these men's lives who were in World War II and then they combine them and they make an interesting story, but it is very realistic because it is based loosely off of real events.
Yeah. Historical fiction is probably one of my favorite genres.
Yeah, it is. It's historical fiction.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, good stuff there. With that, are we ready to move on to our third section?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I've got mine pulled up already, so I'm going to go with it. I've been listening to this band called World's Greatest Dad. They're awesome. It's World's Greatest Dad. There's no apostrophe in Worlds. It's fine. I'm a little upset about it, but it's fine. Just go with it. They are on Spotify. They've got an EP, which is 5 songs, and then 3 singles. They also, just this week, released a new album, but it's only available on a couple music sites as a preview. The whole thing will be coming out in a couple days. They are an emo band, because I have to rep that on this podcast, because I'm the only person who listens to that kind of music.
And the entire world?
In the entire world, maybe, but definitely in this podcast. I think that's fair to say.
Or on campus.
On campus, there's a few people. Luke Sauer, shout out to Luke.
Oh, really?
Luke listens to emo music sometimes.
I listen to it when I'm in your dorm.
That's true, when I force you to. But what's interesting about World's Greatest Dad is it's a female front singer, which is rare enough in music, but it's much, much rarer in emo. Right, and there's been a little bit of a movement in the past couple years to have more female front singers for emo. And I think it really works for this band. So with that, I'm going to play just like 15 seconds of one of these songs. It's called Key West by World's Greatest Dad. So they have some songs that are more like that. They're a little bit upbeat, a little angrier because it's emo music. But they've also got some more acoustic-based songs that are more calming. And she's got a great voice. She can sing and she can scream, which is something that's really hard to do both of those well. So I've appreciated them a lot. They've got a new album coming out. Definitely check them out. World's Greatest Dad. They're on Spotify. Pretty sure they're on Apple Music. Definitely online. So with all of those things, Katie, do you have music?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about something I'm sure you've all heard, so I'm just going to play a little bit of it and let you realize what I'm talking about. I'm just starting from the very beginning. If you haven't realized it yet, I guess maybe you've been living under a rock, but, Corey.
No, keep going.
This is America. Yeah, by, Childish Gambino. He's back and better than ever.
Thank goodness, because he said he was done.
Did he really? I didn't actually
know
that.
I think he said his last album was the last one, or there was only going to be...
Do you want me to turn it off? I was just going to let it play in the background while I talk.
Okay, it's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll stop
it. No, it's fine, Corey.
It's fine, Corey.
Anything you want, Corey.
I wanted to talk about was really the music video. Obviously, the song itself, very compelling. It's very, I don't want to say beautiful because it is about some more serious...
I mean, it is beautiful, though. It's a beautiful song.
The music video, I guess, is more of what I'm saying, that it's less... beautiful in a
sense. I mean,
sense,
it's dark, but
it's
it is
dark.
Beautiful.
Yes,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
You can
so,
have both.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get into a philosophical question of what is beauty, so we're just going to move on. But I really like the discussion that it's having about, well, to be honest, I don't even know everything that it's having a discussion about, but I think that's part of what makes it so wonderful is that I think every time I've watched it, I've learned, noticed something else, and I've learned more and realized more of the discussion that he's trying to have about gun violence and... I think also police brutality and maybe the Charleston shooting. And
yeah.
if you haven't watched it, it's very interesting. I've seen a lot of like the small nuggets of something that's like happening in the background. There's a moment. This might be like a spoiler if you're gonna watch it, but
I mean it's a music video,
right,
so
yeah.
Get over it.
There's a moment where he shoots someone in the head from the back and. He does this pose that's supposed to mimic this offensive, offensive Jim Crow drawing of a black man, and he does the same stance that is done, that is like depicted in this drawing. And so there's just a lot of small, very specific nuances. Very interesting. I would suggest going to watch it and maybe reading an article. On the meaning and all the different nuances within the music video, I think that would be really helpful.
Absolutely. Corey, you've watched it too.
No.
You haven't?
No.
Are you serious?
No, I've never been a big Childish Gambino fan.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay, I mean, I haven't really been that big of a fan either, but this has been pretty...
Well, I've heard a lot about it, and I'm like inclined to go listen to it.
So, 3 days, 55 million views on YouTube. That's
yeah.
absolutely incredible.
Right.
For a music video.
And he just—he was just on SNL, just featured
last weekend.
He released
it. Yeah,
weekend.
He released it,
yeah.
like, during that or
right,
after
yeah.
or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so he really hyped up for it, too.
Absolutely. I love the music video. Definitely check it out. We're going to force Corey to watch it.
I'll check
this.
It out for sure. So check it out with me.
Check it out with Corey. That's our new
segment.
At
the same time, call him up.
We'll listen to it together.
We'll post his phone number on the Twitter page.
Meet me at Starbucks.
All right, Corey.
But I'm going to talk about Kanye West because it's Kanye West.
What?
So you maybe heard about his one of his new songs called Lift Yourself. And I was trying to decide if I wanted to play the part that makes this song worth talking about.
Poopty scoop?
Poopty scoop. But instead, I'm going to play the other part. And if you... It's better if you listen to the whole song and then you hear that part, because I think that's you can understand why people are upset for that being the ending of the song. But I'm just going to play the beginning part of the song just so you guys can get a feel for it. So, this song is one of those songs that has that Kanye West mastery level of editing and mixing. It's really satisfying to listen to it in maybe a car or somewhere with a full sound system because of that bass. It's really good. It has some really catchy and hypnotic sort of rhythms to it. But like I said, the ending was less than desirable for a lot of Kanye West fans, and so. I'd rather you guys go listen to it, listen to the entire song, and...
We can talk about it when we come back in the
yeah,
fall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And when we come back in the fall. But the last verse of the song has caused a lot of hoopla. I feel like it's almost like a movie or a TV
hoopla.
Show.
Hoopla? What
How,
decade
Are we
do
doing
this
again?
This
We've done this. I've used that word before.
It's caused a lot of hoopla.
This every time I'm going to keep using that word. I refuse to take it out of my vocabulary. But anyway, Lift Yourself by Kanye West. It's a good song?
Question mark.
Anyway, listen to it for yourself. Tweet at us. Tell us what you think.
Absolutely.
And we'd love to hear how you felt about the Poop Scoop.
Pop quiz. How many albums is Kanye going to put out this year?
I don't think ability to see the future.
Anybody? Ooh, Madeline's got it. 2, the correct answer.
So Kanye is not only releasing a solo album, who's he releasing the second one with? Do you remember? Is it somebody?
Taylor Swift?
Yes. It is Taylor Swift and Kanye West.
You heard it here first, folks.
He is making up for that time that he didn't let her finish before he interrupted.
This is all we can have, nice.
Corey,
so
stop. Okay.
Dark.
Stop it.
I have a pop question. If you're
you
done.
Have a pop question?
Are you done?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to cut you off. I was wondering what you guys think. A lot of people, well, I don't know how many people is a lot of people. I've heard people say that they're going to stop supporting Kanye and Kanye's music after his recent tweets
episode of
supporting
insanity,
saying that he was supporting Trump, as well as his interview saying that 400 years of slavery was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And there was probably more that I just didn't realize. I was just
I have a couple of responses. So the first thing, him being a Trump supporter, that's to me, that's fine. I understand why there's so much, you know, flack that he gets from that, from John Legend, you know, has messaged him and talked to him and things like that. But sort of Chance the Rapper, one of my favorite.
Chance the Rapper?
Chance the Rapper is also one of my favorite artists. And he tweeted, you know, black people don't have to be Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I sort of echo that sentiment of he doesn't have to support anybody. And I understand he has such a big position or whatever. But he's free to support whatever he wants. But on the whole thing about slavery as a choice, Kanye West is one of those people who's just like, you just have to overcome adversity. You have complete power over your fate and your destiny. You just have to like work hard and have dragon spirit, and that's how you succeed in life. So I can see why he would say that that's a choice, but that's just why I don't like Kanye.
Yeah, so you're saying sort of like liking Kanye is a different conversation than liking and listening to Kanye's music?
Yeah, I mean, he's regardless, like, without a shadow of a doubt, he's talented.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
I mean, we've seen his success, like I just talked about how I liked his editing on Lift Yourself, but that doesn't mean his personal views are going to be...
Yeah, so first of all, we've known Kanye has been fairly conservative for a long time.
Oh yeah, he and Trump are friends, I would dare to say.
I don't think anybody was surprised.
No, like during his last couple sets of concerts, he's openly supported members of the far right. And like, you shouldn't stop listening to music just because someone supports a different political ideology, unless it's like an explicitly evil ideology. You can make an argument there.
Mm-hmm.
But the far right, or at least like the conservative movement, that's not necessarily evil in and of itself. You might disagree with them. That's fine. But there's a difference between Kanye and Kanye's music.
Mm-hmm.
Second, regarding the second point, he tried to walk back that remark. But second of all, Kanye is going to do what Kanye does, and that's try to get attention from people.
That's
so he's going to say stuff like slavery was a choice. I seriously doubt that he actually thinks that. But the reality is that he just likes to say stuff.
Yeah, I could be wrong. It seems like there's been a trend with Kanye sort of believing something, sort of like, I don't know, my girl Emily Dickinson, like believing something and saying something, maybe putting it into a song or into like a poem, and then like 2 days later having a different belief and sort of like, she just changes, and maybe this is the same way with Kanye. They just change their minds very often.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that a lot of people that I know personally, and just even myself at periods of my life, have used music, writing, and things like that to process ideas and to come to a conclusion on what I believe about something. So I can see that sort of idea of, all right, you know, I thought this and I said it, but I don't actually believe it now.
Absolutely. Well, that's a conversation, and we can continue that at a later point. Right now, we're going to tune in. I had a great interview with Brother Moses, a fantastic band, so we're going to play that for you right now. Stick around afterwards for our concluding thoughts for this episode. Well, I heard you first, I want to love, and I did the same, yeah, I did the same, and I heard that you think that I did you wrong, but that's not the same, no, that's not the same. I was waiting on the love of my life to come out of the shadows and punch me in the face and party without... As everybody who's listening knows, my name's Clark Hubbard. I am here with...
Shay.
Shay, what do you do?
I am the music curator at Barefoot's Joe.
Okay, very awesome. So give us a little bit of what that is.
Yeah, so I work for the leadership team, and basically I like reach out to a lot of bands. I work alongside Joy Moore to book the shows, and then I also curate the playlists that are in both shops, Barefoot's and Madero.
Very cool. And now we've got five members from a lovely band. Want to just go around the circle?
Yeah, John Lewis Anderson,
Moses Gomez,
Corey Dill,
James Lockhart,
and Matthew Heckman.
Awesome. So my first question was, why the name Brother Moses? So how come you get it? How come it's not Brother Matthew or Brother Corey? How come this is you?
Well, short answer is that we workshopped everyone's name with, you know, but you know, my name just felt.
It's the greatest.
It's the coolest name. You
yeah,
can
it
say
is.
It.
It's a cool name.
It is a cool name. So, history of that name, I assume that's from the Bible. That's where they got it from?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. That was the assumption. How was that growing up in high school, Moses? What'd you get? What were the jokes about it?
Oh, literally, I've heard all of them. I mean, from parting the Red Sea to, I mean, just where's your cane at, or like, why don't you have a white beard? Just everything that you could just throw at a smallish Hispanic boy.
Moses and I also grew up in a really small town in Arkansas, so it is exceptionally brutal.
Ooh, which what small town? Where are
Van
you
Buren.
Van Buren. Arkansas. Are you guys from Van Buren? Where
just
are you
the two of us are, but.
All right, so where did the band start? Where did you guys all come together?
In Fayetteville. At
Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Yeah, we were all students at the University of Arkansas there.
Okay.
And kind of met each other through different music things. Like, Moses and I started hanging out with John Lewis and Matthew because they played music and we thought they were cool. And
boy, were you wrong.
We were very wrong about the second part.
Yeah. So when did you guys start playing?
This lineup right here has been Brother Moses for a good 2 years now, I think.
Okay.
Do
you guys have any previous bands? Any previous band names or anything like that?
Yeah.
Mess with?
Yeah.
We
it's out there and you can find it if you want, but it's not something
somewhere deep on the internet.
Yeah,
you can find it.
John Lewis and Matthew were in an excellent band.
Yeah, we used
before.
To be in a band called Little Chief, and we were doing that whenever we met Moses and James, and then our paths combined.
Very cool. So you guys put out this EP, Legends 2016, and then you've got this new album, Magnolia. How have you seen your musical abilities and your taste change over these albums? How do you think you guys have improved? Like, what's the arc that you guys have seen over the course of this 2-year period?
I feel like all of our tastes have kind of diverged a little bit. Like, earlier on, I feel like we were all kind of listening to the same music, and now we've each kind of branched out into our own little areas, so that's cool that each of us can bring something different to the table.
So, where were you guys when you started? Did you all, like, it was one band, or what was the band that you guys would all listen to if you could just pick one band when you started?
I remember when Reflector, that Arcade Fire album, came out
yes.
in 2013. That was when Moses and I were first hanging out with John Lewis and Matthew, and that's what we listened to with them all the time. And also, Random Access Memories by
yeah.
Daft Punk was
yeah.
like all that the four of us listened
yes.
to for like a year. Which I think like kind of comes through sometimes, and it's funny that an album is different from us is that ended up having kind of some influence. But I think you can hear it a little bit on the first on Legends for sure, but those were the roots at the beginning that we all shared.
Yeah. So where are you guys at now? Like, what are your camps? Are you getting like to bands that no one's ever heard of that's got 100 Spotify listeners a month, or where are you?
That's
now?
Matthew.
Matthew, talk about this for a second.
Oh my gosh, I feel like the weirdest stuff that I'm into is kind of where Moses and I intersect, is that, like, I've been super into, like, really early bossa nova stuff, like, like Carlos Antonio Jobim. And I feel like you can definitely feel that on some of our stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The bossa nova influence. Because, what's up?
It's just a metronome. It'll keep us
Keep us on time.
But
I don't
also
really
feel
like
what? You listen to, I feel like when we were in the car on our last tour and your music was hooked up and it was like scrolling through your playlist that you were listening to,
mm-hmm.
I had never heard of any of them. And I would like look at them and they had such little presence on the internet. And I was like, how does Matthew even find? But like, you have turned me on to some great bands that way, like that band Sacco.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think you are one of those people that's really good at mining your Discover Weekly for gold.
That's literally what it is. Like,
yeah.
I not to plug Spotify, but I love Spotify.
Yeah.
Because, like, it just, a lot of, like, the Discover Weekly can be kind of hit and miss, but, like, every once in a while there's just, like, a gem that, like, you just discover out of nowhere.
And then it turns out they like broke up 3 years ago.
Which and like one of those
worst,
bands, I forget the name of it, but they had an album that was like so good. They put it out in like 2012, and it sounded like it should have come out in like 2016. And if they had put it out then, it like they would have blown up. But I like looked them up, and they're just not making music anymore.
That's
and it's
so
like
sad.
A perfect album. Trying to remember the name of the band. Now I sound like an idiot because I can't remember the name. But I listened to that album for like 2 solid months.
Yeah. Corey, what's your taste in music? What are your go-to bands?
Mine's a bit different. I like weird drummer music that like even I acknowledge that maybe the music isn't my favorite, but the drums are so good that I'll listen to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So like an example would be Porcupine Tree. They're like a British prog rock band. Like, I wouldn't listen to them, but Gavin Harrison on the drums is gold, and I love it. So I listen to it anyway.
Who are your top drummers? Give me the top three that you look up to the most.
Okay, hold on. Really like Benny Greb. He's a German guy. Carter McLean does Lion King on Broadway. And I guess Gavin Harrison probably still.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So Bonham's not even on there.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a top three.
I get that.
That's he's awesome,
right.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember the name of the band.
There we go.
Well, actually,
yes.
I looked it up to confirm on Spotify. It's French Kicks, and the album is Swimming from 2008.
French Kicks.
Wow.
And it's, like, so good, and I don't understand why they're not huge, but they're not.
It's sad.
So.
That's what happens. So, if you guys could tour with any band that's around right now, who would it be? You all have to come to a consensus. It can't just be one of your favorite bands.
Oh, our friends. Oh, just our friends.
Just your friends?
That's what we've learned in, like, the past few months. Is that, like, last night we played a show with our friends Rocky Pora, who I think played here.
Yeah, I heard
not too long ago. And
Couch Jackets.
And our friends Couch Jackets, who are an amazing band from Arkansas that you should listen to. But, like, I don't know. It'd be amazing to tour for a huge act that, like, we were playing to big rooms every night and stuff. That would be incredible, but I think we've all kind of learned over the past few months, you just want to enjoy the people you're spending that much time with, and, like, when you make good friends in music, like, we have friends in bands that live in different states and stuff, and you never get to see them unless you're playing shows together, which really sucks, but I know that's a really dumb and corny answer, but just all of our friends' bands.
Yeah.
Those are the only people I really want to tour